Good morning, Rabbosai. First of all, I asked a riddle on Sunday, and we had, yes, about which almona will be forbidden to a kohen, which almona may a kohen not marry, and we had various suggestions. By the way, I checked out one of them, I should have known. Somebody suggested, what about the almona of a king? The wife of a king, once married to a king, can she not marry a kohen afterwards? And what's the halacha? So before she mishnah, Sanhedrin daf yilches, the beginning of Perek Kohen Gadol. If she was married, she was the wife of a king is not necessarily a queen, okay, in Jewish law, but she is the wife of a king. And once she's been the wife of a king, she is sort of kodesh kodeshim. You can't be mavata on that kedusha, on that level of kedusha. That she should afterwards be able to marry somebody else if her husband dies. Yeah? And the answer is, you're absolutely right. The almona of a kohen gadol, the almona of a king, the almona of a melech, cannot marry, but she cannot marry anybody. She can't marry a kohen or a levi or a yisrael. Once she is sort of consecrated to the king, that's it forever. She can never marry anybody else.
Another king.
Pardon? Discussion. Machlokes in the Mishnah, whether or not she can marry another king. Yeah, okay. Whether Amon of a Melech can marry a Melech. That's a discussion in the Mishnah. I think it's Machlokes Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda. But the Mishnah says quite clearly that the Almona of a king cannot do Yibon, cannot do Chalitza, and cannot marry. So that doesn't help us Lagaba coin. But the answer with the coin is a very, very simple answer. I had many, many suggestions. But the prize goes to Menachem Erlich of Green Lane in Hendon, who came up with the right answer. And that is very simple. A chalutza. A lady was married to Reuven. They had no children. Reuven died. So now she either does Yibum with Shimon, the brother, or she does chalitza with Shimon, the brother. If she did chalitza with Shimon, the brother, she didn't marry him, but she did chalitza, which is Arminic nowadays, she cannot, like a grusha, the chalutza, cannot marry a kohen. So therefore, that's a very simple answer. If she's a chalutza, she has done chalitza with the brother of her late husband, then she cannot marry a kohen. Simple answer, it's a simple question. So yesterday we started learning about the haftorah of Parshas HaChodesh, And we started looking at the life of Yirmiyahu, and we said that, Yechezkel, the Haftarah comes from Yechezkel, and we said that Yechezkel was the son of Buzi, and we said, and this was a big chiddush to me when I learnt it, and a big chiddush to everybody else, that Buzi was a nickname, if you like, for Yirmiyahu, that Yechezkel was the son of Yirmiyahu, to which everybody said straight away, how do you know that? Where's the makor? Okay, so the Makor is from the Radak. The Radak says in Yechezkel, Perek Aleph, Posuk Gimel, it says, Uvatagum Yerushalmi, this is the Radak quoting Targum Yerushalmi, that says, Yechezkel Novi Bar Yirmiyahu Novi. In there, in the Targum Yerushalmi, it says that Yechezkel was the son of Yirmiyahu Novi, Menikro Yirmiyahu Buzi. So why is Yirmiyahu called Buzi? It says Yecheskel ben Buzi. Yeah, we always say Ro Shifcha Layom, more than Yecheskel ben Buzi. Yeah, why was he called? Al Shahoyu Mevazin Oisoi. They made choizek of him. They made fun of him. They insulted him, and they derided him. Why did they deride him? So the answer is there were two reasons why they derided him. There's a Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Dalet. Yudalad on a base, says the Gemara, that there were eight Nevi'im who were descended from Yehoshua. Yehoshua married Rochov. If you remember, the Rochov was the Zoyna who in Yericho hid the spies, the two spies whom Yehoshua sent. She hid them. And as
she was innkeeper.
What? It says Isha Zoyna, and the nice interpretation is that she was an innkeeper. Okay? Yeah? The Gemara goes through the same thing you have with V'yiftoch Hagilodi, V'hu ben Isha Zoyna. Yeah, Yiftach HaGelodi was also a son of an Ishel Zoino, and there are various interpretations as to what Zoino means, and there's a nice interpretation, innkeeper, because she gives mazoinos, she feeds the people. Yeah, so she's an innkeeper, she looks after the inn, the hotel. She's a hotelier, yeah? So that's Milosha Mazoinus, right? And there are other explanations as well. And the poshut explanation is that she was I think the Art Scroll translates it as a harlot, yeah? So, and then what happened, yeah? By the way, you just missed it, Mark.
What am I missing?
You asked about the Makor from that Yirmiyahu was the father of... It wasn't you?
No,
someone
no,
else who, someone else who wanted to know. Anyway, so we got it from a Radak Vashem, the Targum Yerushalmi, that Buzi was the father of Buzi was Yirmiyahu, who was the father of Yechezkel. So the Gemara says that Yehoshua married Rochov. Yehoshua married Rochov later on. Yehoshua was from Shevet Ephraim, and Yehoshua married Rochov. Obviously, she converted to Judaism, and he married her. And as a result of that, it says that there were Shmoina Neviim, Vehem Koyanim, Yotsu Mirochav Azoino. This is the Gemara Megillah Daf Yudaladom Aveis, that there were eight Neviim who came, Ve'elahein, and they list them all out, and it says Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is one of them, yeah, and therefore Yechezkel would follow, would also be, he would be a Koyan, who was descended from Rochav. It says there that the people made fun of him, and they said that it says the Gaira Benosva Yehoshua. And then when Yirmiyahu gave, Yirmiyahu tried to warn the people that they were serving Avodah Zorah, doing Averis, and that there would be a Churban as a result. This was towards the end of Bais Rishon. Towards the end of Bais Rishon, Yirmiyahu standing up, giving them all these warnings and droshes, they were making fun of him. They're saying, "You know where you come from. You know, we know what your ancestry is." And they made fun of him because they said that he's not fit to stand there and to lecture them, given his yichus from Rochav Azoino. That was one insult. And generally speaking, he got bizyonis, as Nevi'im always do, for warning, for foretelling the doom that's about to come, and warning the people and telling them and making them feel guilty that they're not behaving as they should. And as a result of that, he got bizyonis. And therefore, Yechezkel ben Buzi, that Yirmiyahu got the nickname of Buzi, the person who was insulted. He was insulted for his yichus. He was insulted for his message. And as a result of that, I don't know why, as a result of that, the Torah calls him Yechezkel ben Buzi, or Nach, yeah, and not Yechezkel ben Yirmiyahu. The Torah, I don't know. Okay, now, get back to Yechezkel. So we've got Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu towards the end of Bais Rishon, and both of them are foretelling doom and disaster, right? There will be a churban, and they're warning the people to do teshuva or else. So it says, now we all know that Klal Yisrael went into Golos in Bovel in two waves. There was the first wave, which was 11 years before the churban, and the king at the time was Yechonyo Melech Yehuda. Yechonyo was the king of Jehoiachin, was the king Melech Yehuda at the time, 11 years before the Churban. And then was the first wave of Golos. Nebuchadnezzar came to Yerushalayim. He didn't destroy the temple yet, but he took a whole lot of people, including the Gemara says, well, the Pasuk says in Choresh Ramazgeh, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Yechonyo Melech Yehuda himself, plus the greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael, were taken into Golos 11 years before the Churban. And we said, who was one of the people who went into Golos at that time?
Yechezkel.
Yechezkel was one, and the other one was? That we know about?
Mordechai.
Right? Ish Yehudi hoyo v'shushan abiro, v'shmoy Mordechai ben yoy mikir ish yemini, asher hoglo b'Yerushalayim. He went into Golos from Yerushalayim, im hagoylo asher hogloso, with the first wave that went into Golos, im Yechonyo melech Yehuda, with Yechonyo the king of Yehuda. So Yechezkel and Mordechai, and the leaders of Klal Yisrael, and Yechonyo himself. And Yechonyo himself, when he arrived in Bovel, Nebuchadnezzar was mechabed him as a king, and he put him into a palace. but he was like afraid. What?
Seems like they went willingly.
I don't know whether they went willingly. They were exiled. Like okay, you have to learn the psukim. But it says there that Nebuchadnezzar was afraid that maybe because they've got their king with them, that he might be able to organize some sort of a rebellion. So therefore, he had Nechoniah blinded. He removed both his eyes. Yeah, so he was kept in covered in a palace, but nevertheless. So you've got Yechezkel arriving in Golus 11 years before Churban Abayis. Okay, tomorrow we continue the story.
Started at Turaway, Northwest London. Tuesday, Kaf Aleph Adora, 10th of March. Rabbi Tzvi Marmerstein Schlita of Yeshivas Chaya Olam. Hearing aids and microphones on Shabbos. This week's Torah will sponsor the Chod Tzimtzum Asum of the families of Wittenberg and Moses. Chasa takes place in Mitzvah today. He Rosh Hashanah Bayis Demolish for the Shem V'Shiloh. Inan Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben Rabbi Shimon Rechol Zvi Itzkovitz Zichrono Livracha.
Okay. So before we start, I'd just like to say that this is not halacha lemaisa. You've got to ask your local rabbanim, but we're going to speak through the sugya of you do halacha, but everyone's got their own rabbanim. So I was asked a shaila by the Hatzolah in Edgware, which I passed him for. With regard to the following scenario. A lot of members take calls on Friday nights. Yeah? They take calls, you know, comes in Friday night, they've got to leave straight from shul. Now the problem is that their wives are at home wondering where they are, they haven't turned up. So maybe they think the possibility that they've taken a call. But there's another possibility that maybe they're stump schmoozing and delaying and they don't know and they get worried. Where's my husband? Where's my husband? So one of the members came up with the following idea. You can install a light inside the person's house, which the Shabbos driver, non-Jewish Shabbos driver, would go and turn on the app, on the Hatzolah app. They'd turn on the light, press the button on the app, and then that would turn on that home. And that would indicate to the wife that the husband is on the call. And that would save a lot of Agmas Nefesh. Is that permitted to do on Shabbos? That's the shine. The guy is doing it, but there's an Issa of Amira Nochri on Shabbos. Your time before Shabbos is also a problem because he's doing it for you. So you can't. We have to try and see if this is a possibility.
Part of his job.
Huh?
It's part of his job description.
Yes, but he's doing it for you. He's doing Amir Akam with Tzurich Yisrael, which is a problem. So, what's the heterium that we have for Amir Akam? One of the classic heterium is the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Zayin Sif Hei, where Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to do a Shvus de Shvus, the Tzurich. So, if it's a double Darabonon, then it's Mutter. So, here we've got one Darabon very clear, Amir Akam. Amir al-Akam is Darbonon. Now you have to get him to do another Darbonon. You have to make it into another Darbonon. The question is electricity considered a Darbonon or Daraisa? Or is it Mutter Legamri? Yeah? So, we try to make it into a double Darbonon. And also, it has to be it's only Mutter Letzurich Choyla or Tzurich Harbe. So is this called the Tzurich Choyla, number one? Is it called Tzurich Choyla? Well, you could say, well, it's a Tzurich Chayla because Hatzalah and they're helping Chaylim. But the Chayla, you're right, it is not a Tzurich Chayla because it's not directly for a Chayla. It's for the wife of the person helping the Chayla. But it's not actually a Tzurich Chayla. The question is this a Tzurich Harbe? Perhaps one could say it is a Tzurich Harbe because otherwise they wouldn't be able to function the Hatzalah and this woman would get very nervous about her husband, where's her husband, then that might be considered a Tzurich Gadol. But we want to know, is the electricity considered a Daraisa or Darabona? Okay. So there's a famous Machlokes, the Chazon Ish, and the Reb Shlomo Zalman. But before before we get on to the machlokes, the Chazanish and Rav Shlomo Zalman about the electricity, is it Daraisa or Darabonon? We have to discuss what kind of light we're talking about, because there's not only the electricity shaila, but there's also the light shaila. Is this light considered a Daraisa or Darabonon? So that might depend on what kind of light. If it's an incandescent bulb, if it's a, you know, the old-fashioned bulbs where they had an actual filament inside it, they had something which would get white hot. Actually, light is produced from the white hot. It is white hot. So then, it could be, the Chazon Ish holds, that it's an Issa Bishul Deraisa. Just like the Rambam says that you take metal, and you heat up metal, and you transform the metal, you make it softer, then it becomes this Issa of Bishul, not only to foods, but also to material. So you take a material and you make it into white hot, it becomes an Issa, you're over an Issa Bishul. So here you would be over an Issa Bishul. That's what the Chazon Ish says. So the Chazon Ish asks a fabulous question on that. If there's an Issa Bishul heating up a metal, and he says you're over Issa Bishul, even if it actually doesn't go hot enough to change the material of that metal, even if the metal remains hard and it's not soft, nevertheless you're over an Issa Deraisa. So he said, meaning if you heat up metal to the degree of Yad Tzeledes, the Chazon Ish holds you over an Issa Deraisa. So the question is, how can you ever put a pot on the flame on Shabbos? Let's say there's Chazorah, you've taken care of Chazorah issues, right? There's no Shehiyah, no Chazorah, you've done all the Darabonons. But you're over Issa Deraisa because you're cooking the pot. The metal is being cooked. Bomba Kasha. So the Chazon Ish asked the Kasha. The Chazon Ish is in Siman Lamed Zayin, Sifkot and Yud Aleph. The Chazon Ish says that because this bishul is misyachet to the food inside the pot, then even though the metal is being cooked, nevertheless, there's no problem. So yeah, there's another powerful question based on that. So it's only being mutter if there's food inside the pot. Is there ever a case on Shabbos where you're allowed to take a pot and put it on the stove without any food in?
Yes, if you're reheating.
Oh.
And you want to put something in between.
That's right. The Shulchan Aruch Paskens, I think it's in Rishon Gimel, it says, Horoya, Hamashkin Baboika, someone wakes up in the morning and he sees his tavshil's burning. So what does he do? He takes a pot and he places it upside down pot and he puts the next pot on the top. So according to the Chazon Ish, is telling me that there's only a heter to heat up metal to the degree of Yad Tzeledes, only if you're intending to cook the food inside it. But that would imply that when you've just got an empty pot, there will be asa, because there's bishul to the metal. Just like we're saying there's bishul to the light, to the filament inside the light. And that's considered bishul deraisa. So when you cook up food inside a pot, we can say, well, the bishul is not misyachas to the pot, but it's misyachas to the food. But when you're taking an upside down pot and you're placing it there to make a distance between your fire and the food, then there's no food inside the upside down pot. It should be asa. So you know what the Chazon Ish says? Chazon Ish says, you're only allowed to do it with a kli cheres. You can't do it with a metal kli. Now, I've never seen anyone being machmir for that Chazon Ish. There's plenty of people machmir for Chazon Ish in electricity, in whatever, in lots of different things, lots of different areas. But for this Chazon Ish, I think the minhag ha'olam is to take a regular, you know, tinfoil container, turn it upside down and place your pot on top of that. So this is the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says it would be asa according to the Rambam. Sorry? Okay. That is shittas op. So that's how we get around the the issue of the light. The problem of the light itself, that he says, if it's an incandescent bulb, then it'll taki be an Issa Deraisa. However, most of our lights today, especially you buy a new light, it'll be an LED light, and therefore there is no filament inside it, and it'll be mutter, because mitzad the bulb, Shaboy, there's been no Issa Bishul, because it doesn't come to Yad Tzeledes. Now let's move on to the shaila of electricity. So then that's where we're going to move on to the microphones and the hearing aids. So there's a famous machlokes, the Chazon Ish and Rav Shlomo Zalman about electricity. Is making an electrical circuit on Shabbos, is that an issue of boina? So the Chazon Ish famously writes that there's an issue of boina. And he says for two reasons why it's an issue of boina. Number one, what he calls chibur prokin. Chibur prokin means making a circuit, joining parts. He says just like there's an issa for a person to take, Shulchan Aruch discusses a plasterer's pole, where basically you take two parts of a pole, join them together, and he's got like a stand on top and you use it to plaster. That is an issa deraisa. So the Chazon Ish says that this is even worse than that, because that is becoming two parts which are able to detach. This is actually becoming one unit, the electricity running through the circuit. When you switch the light on, then now you've created a circuit, and that's a chibur mamash, what he calls it's a proper chibur. And that chibur is going to be an issa of boinad midaraisa. That's number one. Number two, the Chazon Ish says, is another issue of boinah. He says, just like the Chai Adam writes, with regard to a wind-up clock. Yeah? A clock you have to wind up. He says, when you're turning something from Misa to Chayim, when you give something life, where it didn't have life before, that's an issue of Makabah Patish. He says, similarly, when you create a circuit on Shabbos, then you're now creating something which didn't have any life, the electricity wasn't running through it in a way that it could do anything. Now when you press the switch, now you're giving life to this circuit. And therefore, he says there'll be an issa of boina, makab patish slash boina. So he says for two reasons there's a problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes letters backwards and forwards, as lots of different letters, and it's unbelievable that the detail, how they understand electricity. We haven't got time to go into all the different plotting, but it's amazing because we're talking about probably 80 years ago or so. And nevertheless, they still had a very good understanding. I checked it out with someone who knows more than me in this field. And it's quite clear that they understood electricity, even though it was sort of the beginning. And so Mazalman writes back to him, he says, no. He said, this is not considered boina. You can't consider making a circuit boina. That's not creating a boina. Why? Because that's just shimush. It's just the usage. You're just using something. Yeah? Turning on a light is not building something, it's using it. Just like a door, if you open and close a door, you're not going to say that that's building, although it makes mechitza, it closes it and opens. No, that's using. So he says similarly, when you take a light and you turn it on and turn it off, it's not creating anything, you're not building something, you're just using it. And he says it's loy domi to the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam, which says, when we talk about a clock, which you're giving, you're winding up the clock, and now it gives it life. And the Chai Adam says that that's Makabah Patish. He says, yeah, because the clock is not meant to stop, right? After a bit it stops, you have to wind up. The giving it life is sort of transforming it from something which is broken, which is not being able to use. Now you're giving it life. That's a problem. Masha Enkein, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, when it comes to making an electrical circuit, that's usage. You're not. It was meant to be off, and it was meant to be on. When you turn it on and turn it off, that's the position that's meant to be in. Masha Enkein, the clock, you would want it to stay on the whole time. It's sort of broken when it's in the state of not got enough charge to keep on going.
Yeah, but you're not building anything. You're just winding it up.
Yeah, but he's saying that is in a state of not being able to be used. Now, by doing it, by winding it, now you're giving it life. So they said, that I can understand, might be considered Makabah Patish. Why? Because it's sort of broken now, and now you're fixing it. Masha Enkein, when you turn on a light, and you turn off a light, it's meant to be in the state that it is. It's not like, oh, it collapsed. The system collapsed. No, you turned it on, and you turned it off. That's how it's meant to be used.
So if you wind it up when it's still running, in order to make it last longer.
Yeah, then the chur, it wouldn't be. There might be other term of grom as well there. Yeah. So that's the basic machlokes between Rav Shlomo Zalman. Sorry?
I remember being allowed to wind up watches while they were still going.
Yes.
Yeah. When we had wind up watches.
Yeah.
circuit like water. Is it like a tap?
What? A?
When you turn on the tap, you're yeah. doing the same as you are when you complete a circuit. You're letting electricity run round.
So he's saying, Chazon Ish is saying, you get, it's dead beforehand. In a tap, there's actually a comparison to that. That's in one of the letters of Hashem Zalman writes to Chazon Ish. It says, it's he doesn't actually call it a tap, but it's just inside, you're just moving around. Okay.
Everybody's right.
Okay. So how do we paskin with regard to this machlokes? It's a huge machlokes, and I think in Eretz Yisrael they're all... most persons go with the Chazon Ish that it's an Issa Deraisa. However, Reb Moshe Feinstein is quoted to say that he sides with the Chazon Ish. But if you look in Moshe Feinstein, there's a fascinating two tshuvas, one after another, in Or Chaim, in Chelek Dalad, Simon Pei Dalad and Simon Pei He. In Simon Pei Dalad, he discusses using the microphone on Shabbos. And he writes four different reasons why one can't use a microphone on Shabbos. Two Doraisa and two Darabonah. In the next tshuva, he speaks about a hearing aid, which he says he allows you to use on Shabbos, and the four Isurim, which basically a hearing aid is a mini microphone. There's no difference in Matzias between a microphone and a hearing aid. It's just one is a microphone in your ear, and one's a microphone for the public. And nevertheless, Reb Moshe writes, the two derisas don't apply, and the two darabonah also don't apply. And the question is, what's the difference? So let's go through the four Isurim, and we'll see perhaps what the difference is, and then we'll get back to our original shayla about the Hatzolah shayla. So Reb Moshe says, number one, it's derisa. The two derisas are as follows. He says, that's gotta be a deraisa. He says the yesh leda shikol hanishma my microphone in a koil adam atzma. It's not the koil of the person himself. Elo kishemadaber nasa roshim. It makes an impression. He says v'zehu chashash isa deraisa. B'mashe dibiburi nasa roshim be'ezem mokim b'ha microphone. He says even though there's no ksiva, there's no koisiv. Because when a person speaks into the microphone, there's no kosev, he's not writing anything. There's no osios. But he says there has to be a malacha deraisa. Akaponim eze chashash malacha. Me achashin eschadish eze dova shalideze nishma kol rom mirochik. He says there's got to be a malacha deraisa because now you're speaking into the microphone and that's producing a kol mirochik. There's got to be a eze deraisa. Ulai makabe patish. Moshe seems to be not sure, but he's saying what's going on is so clearly a malacha, it's got to be something. It can't be kosev, doesn't really fit into kosev. Maybe makabe patish, maybe boina. It's interesting how Moshe approaches it. He says, it's got to be something. Look what you're doing. You're achieving something. So unbelievable. You're speaking over here, and the sound can be heard, you know, hundreds of yards away. There's got to be something. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he says, what about electricity? Electricity, when a person speaks, he's making the electricity bigger and smaller, and therefore he says, more electricity, less electricity, that's also a problem, a chashash deraisa. So those are the two deraisas. Maybe, he says, maybe makabe patish, maybe boina, and mitzad electricity itself, there's a chashash deraisa. The two darabonans, he says, the first darabonan is that there's an issa of avsha milsa. Avsha milsa means you're not allowed to put something on Shabbos which is going to make a noise. If it makes a noise, then people will think you're doing melacha, right? So you can't have, that's the shayla of having a washing machine running or a dishwasher. All these things are shaylas of avsha milsa. The question is how loud is avsha milsa. Okay, that's a separate shayla. But certainly a microphone which produces a lot of noise, that would be avsha milsa. So he says, therefore, it's also midarbonon. You couldn't use a microphone on Shabbos. And secondly, there's another darbonon, is like a klishir, like a musical instrument you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, because there's a gzera, shemi yitakin, maybe you'll fix it. Shemi yitakin klishir. So those are the four derisa, four isurim, two derisa, two darbonon. Number one, maybe boina, because you're making something which makes a very powerful noise. Number two, electricity is a chashash deraisa. Number three is avshamilsa. And number four is exir shami yitake. Now, in the next tshuva, in Simon Pehei, Rav Moshe writes about using a hearing aid. He says, no, there's no issa boina, because it's not an issa borur. It's not a clear issa. He says, look at the lashon of unbelievable lashon of Moshe. He goes through the four isurim. He says, Hamikiven shloi borur lanu ha issa bazeh deleka deleiz malacha nidme. We're not sure exactly what malacha. Like when Moshe says, he's not sure if it's kosev. It can't be kosev. It can't be boina. I mean, it might be boina. It might be makav patish. It's not. It's a borur. Shelchein ein beyadenu lesser lecholer al tzerich gadol. And he says the chashash sheni of electricity, which he says it might be a deraisa. He says nami enge is a borul, the afloi sofik borul. Yeah, but that's just interesting. And then the other two darabonons, he says there's no issa of avshamilsa, because the noise is not heard to the public. It's only heard to the person himself using the hearing aid. Only he can hear the microphone. And the other is about the gzeirah shem yitakin klishir. He says that's also not a problem because it's a milsa d'lo shchicha. He says having a hearing aid is not shchia, and therefore they never made a gzeirah on that. So therefore he gets out of the two darabonos. Now I heard that Reb Zimmerman once asked Reb David Feinstein. He asked Reb David Feinstein. He said, you know, there's two tshuvas of Reb Moshe back to back, and in the first tshuva, he says, chashash deraisa, how can you do it? The microphone is a problem, chashash deraisa. The second tshuva, he says, nah, it's not mishkeferach, it's a suffix, it's darabon. So he asked him, what's the pshat? So Reb Zimmerman, I think, came up with his own hamtzah, the difference between electricity and using a battery, maybe there's a difference in that world. But David said to no. Reb Moshe was mekel l'tzirich. He have a chayla, someone who's hard of hearing. He needs to use the microphone. He needs to use a hearing aid, which is a mini microphone. So he was mekel. He found the tzad, the hokil, within electricity and within it. So it's not clear bichlal what Reb Moshe holds m'ikar adin about electricity. When it comes to electricity in the form of a microphone, where there's absolutely no tzirich to use on Shabbos, then he says chas v'shalom is a deraisa. But when it comes to the something with someone where there's a tzirich, there's a chol over here, then he seems to be more mekel. Okay, let's go back to our shayla that we started with: is the hatzolah member allowed to get the goy to use the to put on a light, turn on his app on Shabbos? And it will turn on a light at home. Is that allowed? So that would depend how we view electricity. When we said that machlekes Reb Shlomo Zalman and the Chazon Ish, if it's an issa d'oraisa, you wouldn't be able to get the goy, because it has to be a double shvus, even if it is considered a tzurich harbe, it has to be a double shvus. According to Reb Shlomo Zalman, it would be mutter. And Reb Moshe seems to be mesupik what electricity is. Is it d'oraisa or is it d'rabbanan? And b'mokim tzurich, he seems to be mekel.
Go worry.